Welcome to ASME TechCast, where we bring you the innovators, the innovations, and the issues that push the envelope of engineering. My name is Kathy Cesari, ASME's Membership Content Program Manager. Today, we're talking with Lauren Neal. Lauren is an award-winning chartered engineer and sought-after speaker whose strategies help businesses attract and retain talent, particularly in male-dominated disciplines such as STEM. Lauren zeroes in on companies and how they can capitalize on the often untapped potential of women in particular in her new book, Valued at Work, shining a light on bias to engage, enable, and retain women in STEM, which recently, by the way, became an Amazon number one bestseller in the high-tech business and finance category. I would also like to thank Missouri S&T for sponsoring today's podcast. Dive into the limitless possibilities of a career in mechanical engineering with Missouri's S&T's 100% online Master of Science in Mechanical Engineering. Craft your unique path in this expansive field. Missouri S&T's program empowers you to design your own graduate program, exploring thermal science, fluid mechanics, energy conversion, composite materials, structures, control systems, engineering mechanics, and manufacturing automation. Unleash your potential with the flexibility of remote learning, mastering skills that are in high demand across diverse industries. Missouri S&T is committed to helping you build a future in the forefront of mechanical engineering. Ready to shape the future? Visit online.mst.edu to apply now and forge your path in mechanical engineering at Missouri S&T. And thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you, Kathy. I look forward to this. It's going to be great.
Everyone's life experience is different. Maybe we need to start there. You're an engineer and you have a history of working in the industry with other fellow engineers. So what in your life has led you to where you are today?
Well, quite a bit, small question, but big answer to that one. Mm-hmm. So I am originally from Aberdeen in Scotland, and Aberdeen is very much, or used to be, the oil capital of Europe. I really enjoyed computing and mathematics at school. And, you know, I thought it was just like, you know, some people like art and music. And I mean, I like music, but terrible art, never get me to draw anything. Whereas I just really liked computing and maths and physics. So when I went to university, I studied electronic and electrical engineering, and I was one of very few women in any of the engineering courses. I think there were less than 10. Specifically on my course, when I graduated in 2006, we had 12 of us on the master's program, and only two were female. Again, I didn't think it was weird. I don't know why. It just never occurred to me that it was different. I thought it was just because we just happened to like more engineering type subjects. Then I started working for, you know, I worked for quite a few different companies actually in the first few years. And when I look back on it, when I look at what was it that was leading for me to change roles, it was because I was looking for somewhere that fit. And I wanted to be challenged. The first job I was in, it started off great. And then before long, I started working on the software help desk where I was setting up usernames and passwords. And I wanted to do more than that. I like to ask why. Why does that work? Why does that graph change when a compressor offshore? What is it doing that's making these pressures and temperatures and variations change? So then I went to a different company. They promised they would teach me all these things. And lo and behold, I ended up doing IT again. And when I asked them, I laugh now when I say it, they told me that IT was all I could do with my master's of engineering in electronic electrical engineering. And they told me if I wanted to do anything else, I would need to go back to university and study chemical engineering. So it's really funny now when I look back on it, because that was very bad advice. But what I also noticed in that company in particular, I was working for someone who openly said women belong in the home and not in the workplace. And it wasn't very long after me raising that as an issue that they terminated my contract. So that wasn't a great experience for me. I started over and then I literally put my resume out everywhere. And I took a graduate role working for a consultancy doing subsea engineering. And they turned me into a subsea engineer. I worked for a really great guy who just, I don't know, he saw something in me. And there was this big power cable project. And he just said, Lauren came over with this procedure, put it on my desk. And he just said, go to site. You're going to go and witness this test and then come back and tell us what you see. So that's what I did. Put my overalls on, hard hat. I went on site, witnessed it. And that was the beginning of the next 8 months of traveling to and from site. And I got to see everything on this power cable, from the manufacture, the testing. They even let me do some of the tests because I was there so often, they knew who I was. And then I went offshore with it and saw it installed. So that whole cradle to grave. And it was brilliant. So really long answer to your question, but when I look back on it, I've definitely seen the negative aspects of being part of an underrepresented group in the industry. But I've also had some really great experiences where I've had a sponsor, someone advocating for me. And now I just want to try and encourage much more of that as we go forward.
It seems like a strange situation that in an industry where we're always talking about engineering space, recruitment and retention are a problem. They're ongoing. You talk about untapped talent. Can you explain that a little? Because it doesn't seem intuitive that they would leave talent on the board when they need people.
You'd think that, wouldn't you? And I've experienced it myself. I've spoken to multiple women. My story where, you know, I say I ended up on the IT help desk, you can reword that with someone who ends up setting up the meetings, booking the meeting room, sending the agendas out, sharing their screens, all these roles that I'd love to kind of put a blanket over it, say it's kind of more like admin versus actually using your engineering skills, knowledge, talent, and so on. And it's amazing how many people, and I'm going to say people because it's men and women, that end up stuck in that trap. And what's more difficult is that when they can't find their way out of it, because then they get seen as the IT person or the person to talk to book the meeting rooms or the person to order the lunch, even though they're not the admin assistant. And that's what I talk about, the untapped talent, because those skills and capability are still there. It just, you need to unlock that somehow. And it's incredibly frustrating when you're the person in that role. But then, well, I found myself, there's only so many times you can keep raising it before you become noisy or a troublemaker.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I can see that in my own life as well. So some people talk about this as a DEI challenge. So, and I really don't think anyone really knows how to solve it, but I think you have some strategies that have you seen work. So what are some of the tactics or strategies that you have seen in companies that can work?
So the big one for me is making sure that diversity, equity, inclusion, any of these initiatives are baked into the actual business. It cannot be seen as an extracurricular activity that some people get involved in. And I think that's the mistake that many companies make. It's, you know, if it's a gender focused initiative, oh, it's a women's problem, they'll deal with it. That's not the answer. It needs to be living and breathing through every person in that organization. And I know how it sounds, but it really does start from the top. So, for example, when I, you know, working in the energy sector, the first thing that gets mentioned at almost every meeting is a safety moment. And they always almost always focus on physical safety, where someone's either been hurt or could have been hurt and so on, and physically. But I challenge everybody to start thinking about psychological safety, because there could be people getting hurt every day and no one measures this, no one checks on it. And this is something that every single person can do. Through my own company, Valued at Work, I'm starting to introduce psychological safety observation cards. You go on site, safety observation cards are very, very common. And again, it's more geared around physical safety. But I think anyone on site in offices can have psychological safety cards. And you're looking for good examples that you want to share or areas that need to be improved. For me, you've always got to start with data. It's great to just say, yeah, we've got a problem to solve, but actually you want to make sure you are solving the right problem. Otherwise, you create an initiative, it fizzles out, and people roll their eyes the next time you talk about diversity and inclusion. So psychological safety cards, definitely one of them. The other one that I'll mention that I'm a big fan of is where a lot of people will talk about mentorship, but sometimes it's not mentorship that you need, it's sponsorship. So mentors, and what's even more concerning to me is when people don't know the difference. So mentors are great to, you know, they share their experiences, give you advice on where you can move in your career, but that's it. A sponsor will speak for you when you're not in the room. They'll put your name into, you know, out there for opportunities that you may not even know exist yet. And if there is an opportunity you want to go for, a sponsor will talk you up to these people. You could even have sponsors in, you know, if you've just joined a new team, I've experienced this myself. You join a new team and you don't really get an introduction and people are thinking, well, who is that? And then you have to prove yourself and prove that you're actually capable of doing more than just sharing your screens or booking team meetings. Mm-hmm. Whereas a sponsor, when you come in, they will say, you know, this is Lauren. She has all this experience doing X, Y, Z. She's just come off of this job doing da, 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 da. And it, especially if that's a senior person saying that, it really sets the tone. And it takes, 2 minutes and costs nothing, but makes such a big difference. And that works for women. That works for people who are shy. That works for junior people stepping into more senior roles. All of this is diversity and inclusion. It's not just on protected characteristics. It's about everybody.
Well, that's a good segue to one of my questions that I had. We talk a lot about leadership, helping the next generation of engineers. Can you talk a little bit more about that advocacy and sponsorship? I know you said that when you come into a meeting, love it. But what else can you see as demonstrating that to help the next person?
So I've seen it when I worked in Azerbaijan, very different culture. I'm in the UK now, but very different culture in Azerbaijan. And what I noticed was there was even cultural differences in meetings between when an expat spoke versus when a national spoke. And most of the time it was the expat speaking and the nationals would just stay very quiet. When I would ask men and women, you know, do you want to say some more during these meetings? I don't know if it was because culturally it's very hierarchical there and that's their society. So it's different to, you know, challenge someone who is more senior than you. And also there's like this pecking order that expats, you know, are higher up than a national, which I don't agree with. I don't, you know, that's not the way it should be. So it took some time to get them to feel comfortable in speaking. But in that case, you can really advocate for a person by just, hi, you know, Norman, is there something you would like to add? What do you think? Or you were talking about this the other day, and you create the space for them in the meeting to share their views. I was running a workshop once, and I felt a little bit bad at the time because there were about 200 people in the room. But I saw this young lady who had only been with the company for less than a year, and I saw her talking in the small groups and that. So I walked over because I was facilitating with the microphone, and I just sort of tapped her on the shoulder and I pointed to her, and she looked at me like deer in the headlights. And then I just handed her the mic. And then the next time I said, okay, who's next? And then she spoke. And afterwards, I saw someone give her a recognition on the company thing. So they get a voucher for speaking up. But it was great for her because then suddenly everybody knew who she was. They knew her name and what she did for, you know, what she did in the company. And it's those little things. It's looking around who wants to speak, but isn't able to find that space. And like I say, it works for men and women. It's when something that is always very telling for me is when you go into meetings and it's the most senior person speaking and they are the only person that speaks. And that's a bugbear of mine, because I think you're hogging the space. And your job as a leader is to advocate for those on your team, to sponsor those on your team. And one very easy way of doing it is to give them the space, ask them their opinion, ask them, you know, what have you forgotten that they can step into? And then also, like I say, that's the day-to-day stuff. If you hear of jobs coming up, don't be protective of your team saying, well, I can't afford to lose them. I've seen that far too many times. If you hold on to someone longer than they want to be there, you'll lose them altogether.
Mm-hmm.
So you may as well keep them in your company, and then at least you've got access.
Now, I'm not saying that it's easy for managers to do all this, but some of us are working remotely. Engineers are working with teams all over the world. Does that make the challenges more difficult? And maybe can we overcome those challenges?
I definitely think it makes it more difficult. What I've seen more post-COVID is so many meetings that are just back-to-back, because they're Teams meetings. So you end up clicking off of one and then clicking onto another one. In real life, when you go into the office and you physically have to move between meeting rooms, that's how you end up late for meetings. Mm-hmm. And I call it the domino effect. You're late in the first one in the morning and it just lasts all day. But I think the challenges that it faces people in general, you don't create those real relationships. You don't have the, oh, did you watch your, how was your kid's football game at the weekend? Or, oh, how was that casserole you cooked last night? How did that turn out? The small talk, I just don't see it as much. Unless you're the first or second person on the call, it doesn't happen. And when it's hybrid, I never see small talk between the person in the room and someone on the line. I mean, maybe it happens, but I haven't seen that. The bigger challenge I see is that when people advocate and sponsor others, it's based on those relationships. And if they can't mm-hmm. build the relationships, they're not going to do that. Which then means if you're shy, if you're introverted, if you're different, it's going to be much more difficult to be seen in the way that you perhaps deserve to be seen in order to be supported to progress in your career or to be given development opportunities.
Very well put. I'd like to leave on a positive note. So, and I know you've given us some tactics that work very well, but it is an ongoing challenge. And maybe one of the things we could talk about or touch on in a positive light is pushback. If I get pushback from someone when I'm trying to do something, you know, people say I'm only one person, that sort of thing. What would you say? What can you say to them? Tactics that you've seen? What do you think?
So, I actually put a post on this just the other week on LinkedIn. There, so 2017, I was working out in Azerbaijan, so Baku, Azerbaijan, and I was having a tough time. I was working with a team who it was all men, drillers. Mm-hmm. And my role was working with suppliers where I was their contract accountable manager. So I was performance managing them. And for me, that translates into I create very good relationships with them, that they will tell me when something goes wrong. And that, you know, I ask, how can I help? Many times I just openly say, I don't understand what's actually broken on that tool. And they explain it to me and then I understand it. And then I can, you know, rally the troops to get the teams together, engineering and so on, as we need to in order to solve any problems. But the team I was working with, they were very experienced offshore wells guys, and they would frequently criticize me for knowing nothing about rigs, nothing about drilling, and so on. I get the gist of it. You know, I could draw it and show you how it works, but anything more than that, not really my thing. And then there was a new guy that came in, and we're pretty much probably the same age, both from Aberdeen. And he was welcomed with open arms when he got there. And he writes about this now, but he always tells the story of he went out there. He was respected for his experience and he was included right away. And then he met this woman, me, who had a scarily similar background to him, but was challenged on every idea, every time I spoke up, and always just excluded. So you can imagine kind of how I was feeling on all this. And I remember one day having a conversation with this guy, and I knew he had a daughter, a little girl called Olivia. And I just asked him, would he be interested in joining the employee resource group we have for women? And he was actually open to it. So he actually joined the committee. There were maybe a dozen women, and he was one of only two men. And after he finished his assignment in Azerbaijan, he went back to Aberdeen and he launched a Women in Wells group, because it had been there previously in other places, but he launched it for Aberdeen. And then he went on to launch a Men as Allies group.
Mm.
And people talked, so I posted about him the other day. And that was, I posted on a Friday, which is not even the best day for views and so on, but that became my most, you know, the highest impressions all week, just being that Friday,
right?
Because you could see this one guy, mm-hmm. and, you know, he's a straight white man. So part of the majority that people will push against, and he's using his position, he's using his influence, he is sponsoring, he is advocating, he is, you know, always got an open ear to just come and have a talk to about things going on. And he said now he is learning so much about the experiences of just people in general around him that he never even knew that these things mm-hmm. were going on. And what I love so much about it is he's using his platform now. And because he's a senior leader, he's a senior leader. He is, you know, he can go into HR. He can actually create, he can impact the systems and the process and the way that things can be dealt with in the right way. And it just makes me so happy when I hear that story. But like I say, he is one person. And when he first joined the women's employee resource group, those drillers said some pretty nasty things to him, questioning his sexuality, questioning why he was doing that, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. And he said, I don't care, because it's the right thing to do. And it's brilliant. I mean, I love his name's Mike Smith. I love just seeing what Mike does every time we catch up. And like I say, that's one person.
That's a really good story. And it looks like we'll have to call it there. Thank you so much for joining us today, Lauren. Thanks for talking with us and giving us some insight. Good luck going forward. Any last things that you want to maybe mention that we just didn't get to?
I would just say if anyone would like to hear more or follow me, LinkedIn, I am always there. So, yep, absolutely follow me on LinkedIn, send me a connection request. I'm always happy to have more connections.
Oh, that's great. And of course, thanks for everyone for being listening audience today. And thank you to our sponsor, Missouri S&T, for supporting today's podcast. If you'd like to hear more great conversations on a wide range of engineering topics, please subscribe to ASME TechCast on Spotify, iTunes, or your favorite podcast platform. I'm Kathy Ciceri. Thank you so much for listening.